It's a real pleasure to have Chika here. I've known Chika for many years, and she's absolutely amazing. She teaches the violin, and if you look at Chika, you would say she could be Japanese.
100%, actually.
We'll come up.
And then you say to Chika, konnichiwa. And she'll look at you and will say konnichiwa. But if it's getting towards evening, you say konbanwa. She'll look away to see what you're referring to. because konbanwa is good evening. And it's another Japanese word, which is obviously well known, almost the same as konnichiwa. And Chika, your Japanese is fluent, is that right?
Oh, Peter, you're pulling my leg. I actually learned Japanese because my grandparents spoke it, and my parents to each other, but as a secret language. So as a child, I did understand it, and I would like to get back to learning it. But I learned the polite terms like oyasumi nasai for good night. Yes. And before we would sit down to eat, we would say itadakimasu, and my father would say dozo, which was a lovely tradition. But besides that, not much, I'm afraid. So you are fluent in Japanese compared to me, Peter.
It'll get you quite a long way, that. But it won't direct a taxi, which is a sorry. So Chika has a long history of being a violin teacher. She's taught in many different schools, and she is enormously talented in this area. And you've given loads of concerts, haven't you, Chika?
I have, yes.
So we're looking at a highly competent violin player, and many of you know Paul Robertson. Of course, she is the wife of Paul, or Paul's the husband of Chika, depending on how you wish to look
at it. Masculine feminine.
And so, Chika, it's a delight to see you here.
Thank you.
And to
wonderful
have you
to be
here to teach us all about music. So, Chika, just before I hand over to you, Chika's going to divide you into four groups.
Oh, we'll do that later.
Yeah, I know, but I'm going to tell them so they're prepared.
Thank you so much.
Divide the room into quadrants. Now, you can easily do that there. And so you people will all turn in. You people behind will all turn in. You will all turn in, and the others will all turn in. And we'll all become harmonious.
Wonderful.
Okay, so let's welcome Chika then for her workshop.
Thank you. Oh. Thank you very much. You can all teach me about the laws of the universe as I tell you a few things about music that I've picked up. I'm very lucky. And Paul, who's gone, bless him, back to our room to get some more tea bags for you all, as I heard someone say, do we get another gift, another little treat? And yes, there is a treat for you planned. So Paul's gone back to get that. But Paul and I are joint chief executives of the Music Mind Spirit Trust. We're a music charity and very, very honored to have both Martin Redfern and Peter Fenwick as trustees. For many, many years, I've known both of them through the Study Society. So I had a good head start in life when I came over to England and newly married, started a new career here from the LA studios and New York background, really good teachers. Here it was just wonderful because people welcomed me with open arms, and I try and do the same with the new generation of pupils here. We, as you can see from our strapline, enriching people's lives through music. And isn't it wonderful at this conference, this synchronicity? Here we have, it ties in with Lucy's incredible work. Jean-Philippe said last night about the same Greek word, which is melos, for music, and honey. Listening to music is a way to be a queen bee, he said, which I think is lovely. So we're all queen bees or king bees, and we are nourished by music. So let's have a very nourishing session together this afternoon. I came over, as I said last night, from a background in the Pacific Northwest, age of 6. Here's Paul. Thank you. Success. Good. Thank you. Age of 6, very, very fortunate. The next door neighbor who moved in, she'd been running the whole LA system of school's music, and I was way up in Washington State in a beautiful area, but she came up there to Spokane, Washington for some reason, and she leaned over her backyard fence, probably the day she moved in, spotted me, and I can see how it would work because I spot children now, and I'm sure you all do in your various fields. You know exactly what they're going to be in 30 years' time. And she said, that girl's a violinist. It turned out to be true. I do love playing, and I had a natural affinity for the instrument. But my teacher, Mrs. Norby, my first grade teacher, age of six, she gave me the passion to be a teacher. And so with the two as a combination, I've been very fortunate. Going back, when I was age of 1 to 2, I was barely big enough. I'm still not very big, but I was sitting up in the shopping trolley. And that was my moment, I remember it, of becoming self-conscious. A couple people in the queue said, oh, look at that little, she looks just like a little Japanese doll. And I thought, that's kind of funny. And because I could feel it was a strange comment. So I didn't know how to respond. So I thought, should I smile? Oh, but that might look egotistical, I thought. So it goes way back, doesn't it, those feelings? When I was at the age of 5, I looked in a mirror. We were the only Japanese family, I think, in Spokane, Washington at that time. And I thought, oh, what's wrong with me? I look really ugly because I look different from everybody else. And I just couldn't make out. So I was quite confused. I had no confidence. And I only found out years later, through the violin, that I do have the ability to help enthuse others. And so it's been through my teachers and this good fortune of looking different with the violin that's given me my life, really. So I try and pass that on to young 15 to 18-year-olds, especially with a young music leadership program with our sort of early program called Song Trees. Here we find that musicians have a toolkit where we don't have to speak to guide and lead others. And today we're going to be our own true performers. What does it feel like to be in the zone? It starts from within, they find out. So if we'd all like to just stand up, think of a favorite song of yours, imagine it, and conduct it. Any song will do. And you can really get into it. So I see a lot of very romantic music, beautiful, lovely music. And I see some real leadership with, gosh, jolly music too. And then I'd like you to be able to turn to a partner and communicate your song with that person. The only rule is no talking. Have fun. No talking. Yeah, you can do your own songs at the same time. Whatever it seems right. Doesn't matter. You can either take turns or do it both together. And the only rule I remind us all is no talking is necessary. Laughter's fine. And can anyone guess what kind of song it might be? Is it a happy song? Right, now the last little exercise with this is one of you can be the leader and the other person please follow along. And then when I say, then the other person can be the leader and the other person can be the follower. So go ahead with any motions that you want and the other person just mirrors them.
Is it the same song?
And no talking is necessary in this because you are conductors. You are conducting your life from within yourself. So it's all about gesture. So again, we just do it spontaneously. We don't think about it, and it's much easier. You will find it's much easier, I'm sure. And now we will exchange, so the person that was leading can now be the follower. And the follower becomes the leader. There's no right or wrong, of course. Just go to town with it. And experiment with different tempi. Does it work better with a slow gesture, taking your time? Allow the time to communicate. And then fill yourself with the emotion that you're conveying. So you're speaking from your heart. Now look into their eyes and see if it actually makes a difference as well. And this is our nonverbal toolkit that you're developing. Does anyone feel like they're in the zone yet? Oh, yes, I see people are. Very nice. Right, shall we all just reflect upon that for a moment? You may just sit down and enjoy. That was very nice. So... So what I really enjoyed seeing was I could internally hear our oral footprint that we were actually leaving through our gestures. There was an actual sound, and then as we sat down, the outbreak of laughter was another oral footprint that we're leaving from our conference, which I think is very valuable that we take these energies with us and spread the word. So... if we go on to the next, the first thing that the young musical leaders learn is just to stop, be still, be aware. And so if we say this together, because this is very helpful to them, you'll see why. Be immersed within your breathing, to be supple and grounded, to be present in the here and now, to be within your inner stillness, to be your true self, to be harmoniously as one, to be with everything and everyone. And then we read it differently. So anytime that the word your appears, they change it to our. Let's try that. Be immersed within our breathing, to be supple and grounded, to be present in the here and now, to be within our inner stillness, to be our true selves, to be harmoniously as one, to be with everything and everyone. And they realize that they have a quite different feeling. Isn't that interesting? So by instilling it at this age, and I know that the fine work you do with your youngsters, they probably get that collective feeling. And can you give an example of how they might do that with your work? You run such a wonderful program for young leaders and heroes.
I think more actually by seeing each other's work.
Yes.
I think when we have these award ceremonies and people come together, and the parents see the work and the children share it for the first time and they see each other's work, then there's really something to celebrate there. Mm. So it has been something individual. But it becomes something collective, collective expression at that time.
Exactly. And one of the most valuable things is between lessons at the core group of young musical leaders are my pupils at the moment before it goes into other hubs through Music Mark and other big organizations in England and then into Europe. It's between lessons when one pupil comes in and the other is going out the door and they just do some exchanges. And those are probably the best moments of their lessons, just that collective bit. And then, of course, when parents come along or they take the work home to parents, the feedback we get, because it's all about families and working together, and then out to audiences. So it's all about relating, as I mentioned last night, to our audiences and new ways of thinking about that. So we call this transformative musical performance because they're really experimenting with emotions individually, even negative ones, like guilt. This was a very interesting one for them because they play them, even with one note, and they hear the differences. So I tried it myself because I always believe that you have to do that first. And I thought, guilt, that's a hard one. And I thought, I still felt really badly, still feel badly about it, actually. When I was about 5 to 8, and I took a candy bar, a little watermelon bar, from the grocery store. And then I felt so badly about it, I couldn't eat it. I just couldn't eat it. And that was a big lesson to me. I might have actually snuck it back, I'm not sure, I wanted to. But so I started playing this on my violin. What did this feel like? And I found it really helpful. And it was a nice tune, actually. It ended up to be quite harmonious. And then, as we're trained, when we're learning an instrument, you imagine your audience out there in your practice. I'm sure you've all done this technique before speaking. And I started playing guilt to an audience. Came out beautifully, absolutely beautifully. And it was easier to play. It sounded like a confessional. The music sounded and felt like it was confessional. But then I thought, wait a minute, there's a piece missing because it's got to come back, doesn't it, to the performer, so it becomes just a virtuous circle. So with these pupils, we're training them to then pick up the audience's emotions, which they've sent out, get them back so it just starts doing this, and the results to an audience are incredible, and to the performers. When I tried it, the music became like a prayer. Just the most beautiful thing. I was not thinking about it. It must have come from the heavens. It was so easy, and this is what the pupils are all finding, that if they can just let go, they've got to do their work, their technical exercises and all, but this is a very important step in their training to be able to let go. And so they say, it just played itself. And isn't it fascinating how a negative emotion can be then turned into something positive? Now, does anyone have any thoughts? Because I know we've got lots of eminent psychiatrists and all sorts here, but we might have some thoughts at the end on that one, because I am fascinated with that. I know that that is why music is healing, because each piece of music that we choose or hear is a complex emotional package. Now, am I right, Peter, that if someone is very depressed, then they just can't express maybe more than one emotion? I know that when Paul was in his coma, and it was about 6 weeks, wasn't it? And when we put on, I was very careful what we could select for him to hear, because I knew that if I put on any other string quartet, it might be the end of him. And also, of course, it was the music. It was Mozart, the clarinet quintet, Jack Brimer, that recording of yours with the Medici Quartet. So beautiful. And it's just the heart rate is just right. And that has actually brought people out of comas from reports that we've heard, that actual recording. So it's just fascinating, I think, how, if we just turn to the next slide, Tristan, thank you. If we remain healthy, we can actually pass on our music to others. So these young musical leaders are learning the importance of keeping their temple, their body, in a good condition. And we do that a lot through speaking to them through sports and music. So they have sportsmen's, talks. And then they find out the relevance of what is the link between, are there any links between music and sports? And then they come up with all these things themselves. Oh, yes, we've got the diligence, we've got the practice, we've got to have patience and determination. all the same qualities, the focus to be a good musician or a good sportsman. And what I think is really valuable too is it actually makes musicians feel that they have credibility as well, that they're cool, like sportsmen. And it actually then carries on through schools this way. So they do it a lot with warm-ups. And this they find, they're just prompts. Now the Alexander technique has been extremely useful to me. And this is kind of based on this, my head is high, so it's loosening, so that all the signals can go through the neck. My head is high, my feet on the ground, they're grounding. I hear my sound, so they're hearing, they're listening. So big and round. And with the prompts, their sound does become bigger and rounder, of course. I move with ease, body and soul to please. So we're putting the soul in there as well. And if you just like to think in your chair even, we use figure eights, especially for string players. So if we're doing this, just where you're seated, you could try it. So we're up to the heavens, and then figure eight down, and then bringing up from the soil. So it's gathering and releasing, drawing up the energy. Isn't that nice? And then they do that with their instruments, so they're just extensions to their arms. They walk around doing these things. And then body percussion. This is kind of nice, where if you experiment with different... Do we hear how that's all the same sound and pitch in here? Now let's puff out our cheeks. So it went down in pitch, didn't it, with the bigger volume. So, of course, physics is really involved in it, all this. Try your knees. Shoulders. So did you notice how the rhythms matched within the room as we did that? That was really very good. And we'll just do one more where just waking up throughout the body. Tap tapping's really good. Lovely. And then, of course, when they're on stage in any mode of performance, they have to know that if they tense up, they can release immediately. So we do little games. So I might say, tense up your left arm. And they keep it tense until I say, release. So we could try this. And Elizabeth, if you'd kindly name a part of the body, then we'll all tense up until you say release for us.
Okay, your left thigh.
Oh, that's good. Left thigh. Tighten it up until Elizabeth kindly tells us we can release. And if you just say release whenever we, and we'll release. And we'll release. Brilliant, thank you. Kirsten, any part of the body would you like to say, and we'll tense it up until you say release?
Okay, your right ankle.
Right ankle. So they just really can see that they have control of these muscles.
Release.
And we'll have one more. Who would like to give us a body part to tense up and then release it for us? Yes, please.
Jaws.
Jaws, that's really important for musicians.
Let go.
Oh, thank you. Lovely. So it's all about letting go. Nicely said. I like that, let go. I think I'll adapt it to let go. Very nice. So they find that through their instruments are actually acting as microphones to their inner selves, to their true selves. And they realize that their sound changes with how they are inside. It sounds truthful. It sounds pure. They're talking about the sound that's being produced when they're thinking in this way and feeling it. And then it makes them aware of the impact that it's having on themselves. And these are what they've written after their lessons or during their lessons. It makes me feel truthful, and it makes me feel pure. Isn't that exciting? Because they are actually learning what it feels like. They're also learning coping strategies, because we all need coping strategies in life. So if we go to the next slide, I'm sorry for this. It's not a very good slide visually, but we work with a neuroscientist called Giovanni Franzetti. Fantastic. We met him in Berlin whilst Paul was on a fellowship there. And what I learned from him is that, of course, we all know when we get threatening stimuli, it hits the thalamus. which then sends signals to the amygdala, and out come our sweats, and our heart rate starts going out of control, our gut contracts. However, if we use our coping strategies, and this is what the young musicians are finding, we go to the next slide, and the amygdala is very, very clever, because if we never send these fearful things to the thalamus, then the amygdala releases the active coping strategies. It's got the ability to do that, and so that the fearful responses never go down the brainstem. Would you agree with that, Peter? That this seems to be really kind of record-breaking. Thank you. Oh, fantastic. Oh, wonderful. So that's really helpful. Thank you. And if we go on, now you won't be able to read this, so I'll read the next slide a bit from me. But this is, you know, they really get excited. And one pupil was talking about when she's adding emotion and working with an imaginary audience, she says, when using this, my sound becomes deeper and richer. This makes me feel more satisfied and secure, both as a player and as a person. And I get so excited because they're getting it. They are getting it. And the next one is, she noticed that when she added facial expression, she said, it was the first time I'd managed to achieve such a lyrical and ringing tone. I couldn't believe the sound she was producing. I really couldn't. This made me feel confident in my playing and in myself, and I felt like I was part of the music. Isn't that beautiful? Isn't that something? The most important principle they find is taking time. So they're really learning how to take the time. My mother, when she recently passed away, when she was asked by a nurse on her deathbed, if you had but one wish, what would it be? And she said, I mean, she could hardly talk. You know, she had pipes and everything going down her. And without, you know, any hesitation, she said, time. And I loved what Sati said this morning, that his mother used to say, when God made time, he made plenty of it. Isn't that beautiful? I love that. Very nice. It was very comforting to me. So thank you. They're learning to live harmoniously through their music. They find that if they take time to hone their technique, so practice, practice, practice in the right way, that even the smallest technical change that they're making on their instrument is going to be reflected as an emotional change. For instance, if I use a slower bow on the violin, I'm going to get more depth of sound. This is on the technical, scientific level. It's all physics. So more depth of sound, but I'll get a greater feeling of integrity through that. And then it's easier for me to match myself to others and to an audience. We do this all the time, of course, with gestures, as we found at the beginning. The prosody of language, phrasing. And again, something, Satish, that you said this morning reminded me of phrasing with the noble triangle of truth being science, goodness, spirituality, and beauty, art, you know, this lovely shape. It's all phrasing, isn't it? Prosody, gestures. And that's reflected in our movements, of course. So we looked out the window at the Royal Academy of Music after one of these breakthroughs, and I don't know if you can see it, but there is a rainbow. It suddenly appeared. And so we thought, wow, what a magical moment. Let's improvise to it. So they improvised to the rainbow. They learned to harmonize with the energies of the universe, just instinctively, without thinking about it. That was a very special teaching day. I drove home. What appeared as I drove? That's the roof of our house to the right, a rainbow. I went in the house, and looked out the window, what appeared but a double rainbow over our field. Isn't that incredible? So I found it so inspirational that I thought, I've got to improvise this, you know, to this myself. So I started playing, feeling this great sense of gratitude And it made me realize about the importance of working with the harmonic series. Those are just the natural tones, frequencies that come out from one, from each note. And we'll hear about that tomorrow, I'm sure, in your exciting lecture. So now, what are we going to hear? Yes, Amalia. I get the pupils then to learn what the harmonic series is. Basically, it's if we take a string, if we just, in a moment. Okay, well, listen. Okay, if we take a violin string or rubber band and we just pluck it, of course, you get a fundamental tone. Put your finger in the middle of it, pluck one side, you get an octave up. Okay, and I'm sure you all know this. And then you get, so octave, fifth, fourth, major third, minor third, major second, smaller, you know, and it goes into smaller increments. And that, you know, each tone has those vibrations, and then they cross over, and then we get these interesting patterns. So I got Amalia to, I'm sorry. All right, so we got Amalia to learn this harmonic series, and then I said, okay, think of an emotion and just improvise using those tones. And it's really lovely what she came up with. Oh, that must be for me. It said, learn to speak English. I'm sure the next one said, learn to speak Japanese. I will, Peter. Just for you, I'll learn how to speak Japanese. Oh, okay. Oh, I am so sorry because I threw that. There she is. There she is. So Amalia's 15. She came, I mean, all these pupils, a lot of them have been rigorously, you know, pushed, and they come full of tension. And how do you unblock that? Well, by getting them, you know, using these methods. Okay, so this is what Amalia did with the harmonic series. It's the first go. Thank you, Amalia. Aren't they lovely? That smile. She was so proud of herself. Okay, and the next one. John Cage's quote, the emotions, love, mirth, the heroic, wonder, tranquility, fear, anger, sorrow, disgust, are in the audience. And so they realize that those are real people out there, and they are leading the audience, being the performers. So they have to be able to experience those emotions themselves, because the audience, we all want to feel alive, don't we? I had a professor once who, he used to learn with Bartok, and he learned behind the Iron Curtain, and he used to, oh, tears would come to his eyes, and he would say, why do you think that people actually go to concerts behind the Iron Curtain? And we say, and he'd say, because it's the only place they can safely go and cry. We are so lucky here, aren't we? We're so lucky. So, music is about life. We need to create the stories and then narrate them. Now, I just checked with our eminent Jean-Philippe about this, and my husband, about Rodney Collins' work. I just think this is wonderful. And I used to teach it to the prep school boys, and they loved it because it's about science and exciting things, you know, planets. And it's the periodicity of the planets in relation to each other that it creates the musical scale. I mean, that's how fundamental all this is. So we got the harmonic series with Matthew, and we said, okay, Matthew, using the harmonic series, think of a story that you'd like to portray. And he said, okay, I am crossing the road, going to work, and I meet a samba band in the middle of the road, and I have to go through this, but I do get to the end of the road. And this is the end of his story using the harmonic series. Just, again, first go, improvisation. excellent. Thank you. Okay. And then now, he's 15 as well. And then the next slide shows how we did the same with a scale, just an ordinary scale, talking about the periodicity of the planets and all that. And this is what he came up with. Oh, it's the one before that. That's all right.
Can you feel it so much inside, you know, how many people are around?
Same story.
What are those feelings?
But with a scale.
Excitement again.
Good.
Three
you
words.
You can have the same words, excitement. I like the anticipation.
Yeah.
And then at the end, you've got real celebration too, don't you?
Celebration.
Yeah. Okay, so what's your body language like in that? You could really show it.
So body language.
Good.
Scales are boring. And so they are working with the seven-step pattern, you know, going along with, and the first, and I swear I did have all these slides prepared before. It just goes in with the conference, doesn't it? First step, being aware, that we're all being aware, and taking time, tuning in, understanding, narrate the story, energize and deliver, and of course the tuning in where they listen and hear as things unfold, just naturally. Understanding, that's where the physics comes in and the science. And then they play, just using their intuitive skills, narrating from their hearts, energizing. As Peter said yesterday, there are people that energize us and the gratitude that we feel about that. And then deliver, tell their story, the potent ways that they learn to reach deep emotions a lot of times comes with the basis of what we use with our project song trees, which are our early musical memories. Now, I'd like you to take a moment just to kind of remember an early musical memory of your own. Could be maybe your first musical memory you had. And then just turn to a partner and share that. And do join a group, make a threesome if you need. Right. Now we just finish our stories there, and we can always continue later. Would anyone like to share either their neighbor's story or the person themselves? If we could hear a few of these stories and how it made you feel, what kind of feeling it was at the time. Lovely, thank you. Oh, we've got a mic for you.
I was given a first day at school, aged 5, allowed to play in a percussion band, and I can still remember the basically ecstasy for bashing something.
Legitimately being able to express our anger. Any other first early musical memories? Lovely, got one. Thank you.
Sadly, my first musical memory was wanting to learn to play the violin.
Oh.
And I say sadly because we were allowed to borrow them from school.
And how old were you?
I was about 8, I think.
Right.
And it was so terrible, the noise, that my parents banished me to the shed at
oh.
the bottom of the garden.
Oh.
And I never took it up again after that. But I did start playing recorders
oh.
instead. It made slightly better music.
Well, of course, that reminds me a lot of times when this is a big problem, of course, when children are able to start instruments through, you know, governmental funding or something, and then the funding gets withdrawn, and then they're they don't, you know, their instrument, they no longer have it. And it really is hard on them, really hard on them.
Can I just say something?
Yes, please.
There was a program on television the other day. It's not my first musical memory. And I can't remember the name of the organization which takes music into schools. And yes. It was in a primary school. And there was a string quartet, and they were playing to the children. And the children were all sitting there, absolutely kind of like agog. And then suddenly, this little boy goes, like that. And it's just it was so moving.
It is really magical, isn't it? When they discover this sound world and this, the feelings that are attached to it. Could we have a couple more early musical memories, some stories?
The Archer's theme tune.
Wonderful. Oh, how old were you? And how did it make you feel when you heard it? Yes, yeah, happy, made you feel da 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 da. And I'll tell you a story as well. We'll have a story exchange. I'll never forget, because it was under Simon Rattle, and he said to us, he just stopped and he said, and he never lost his temper, but he did kind of. There are two times I saw him lose his temper. This was one time, and he said, but don't play it so it sounds like da 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 da. And it had. And shall I tell him? It's a little bit rude, but it was the other time I saw Simon angry. It was before a live broadcast, and he actually said to everybody, all right, it's your break coming up. Get something to eat, but nobody can have baked beans. They're banned. No baked beans. Because an entire recording of a concert could not be used, apparently, on a broadcast because of the extraneous noises. So, sorry. One other story,
actually. Here. I remember, this dates me rather, how many people remember Dick Barton, Special Agent? Oh, boy.
And how did that make you feel? Oh, Martin's. Could we hear it? Oh, it's a little bit like the William Tell. Isn't it? Good rhythm. How did it make you feel? Wow.
Wow.
The wow
really
factor.
Bouncy and really energetic.
Very good. Really good. And there were just a few over here.
I had a great aunt who used to sit at the piano and sing very little known folk songs from an ancient battered book of folk songs. Wow. And I remember I must have been so young, 3 or something.
And where were the folk songs from?
They were English folk songs, but
lovely.
I mean, there was the Raggle Taggle Gypsies, but there were others that very few people
very
know.
Good.
And she used to sing in a rather kind of shrieky voice, but nonetheless, I was enchanted.
Enchanted,
and still
that's
have
lovely.
Them running around my head.
Fantastic.
Yeah.
Yes. When we started the project, we used a lot of folk songs simply because on the questionnaires that came back from the pupils, because the children interview their parents and grandparents, and then we use that information as the data. And then they learn the songs, then they take them back. And we do this, incidentally, in communities at the moment with old people, especially when they're isolated. And so the children go in, and they love seeing children. The children go in, they exchange stories over a cup of tea, and then they go back and they sing those songs. And it means so much to the old people. It really does. And so they do it with their families as well. So we encourage music making in the community as well as within families. And there was another. Thank you so much. And children seem to love folk songs. We think maybe that they'll think they're old-fashioned, but they love them when they actually get into it.
Well, I just remember my very first musical experience was I was being babysat when I was about 2 years old by a pianist who lived downstairs from us. And he said I could play the piano. So I played Thunder and Lightning.
Oh.
And ended up breaking a key on the piano. Oh.
And this was just improvised.
Yes, that's right.
Fantastic.
I felt so powerful
beginning.
Playing Thunder and Lightning on the
that's
piano.
That's really nice. How did it make you feel?
Oh, actually, yeah, powerful.
Powerful.
I could play Thunder and Lightning.
Yes, wonderful. So when we got the questionnaire results back on the initial work, 2004 dates back to, the first question was the children would ask their parents and grandparents, what is your earliest musical memory? And then they get the stories and the songs. And the second question that they would ask Granny was, how did it make you feel? And overwhelmingly, they were all positive responses, happy, secure, comforted. And at that time, Paul turned to me and said,
wow, we've really got something here. This is really, really interesting. And it has turned into just the most exciting work because it's introducing the youngsters to the next. There's Amalia telling her story. And the next slide. Oh, what do we... Do we have that one? Oh, I think we could go... I think this might be the different PowerPoint.
Oh.
Might have gone to the... Another, but it's opening new career paths into music and well-being for these youngsters. So, all right. So, Amalia wrote, "This made me have a more controlled overall internal sense of well-being when she was playing like this. This made me feel freer and more relaxed, whilst at the same time more in control and confident about my playing." So they're learning that they can actually treat themselves health-wise. If they start to feel a cold, they get out their instrument, they start to play, and they feel a lot better. So we could go on, because this next girl, she lacked such confidence, she could never smile. No one could get anything out of her. But 2 months later, just playing from within herself, she started beaming with confidence and happiness. And this was, she brought her diplomas in from some festival, and she wrote, "I wouldn't have achieved a distinction in my festival without feeling this relaxed and confident, so I'll definitely carry on preparing myself like this." She carried it into every activity she was doing and is now a top scholar at Westminster, excuse me. And they're learning, of course, a lot with breathing, with their exercises, technically. Breathing different ways with the bow stroke, between the up and the down bow. You know, before, during, after the stroke. They're also learning, just to take time. We could all do it. Breathe in. This is a Buddhist tradition. Breathe in calmness. Just empty your mind, breathe in calmness. And breathe out with a smile. Lovely smile, thank you. So we could do that at any moment. Now, when I asked my own mother what her earliest musical memory was, she started laughing and saying that there was this singer, we were talking about your auntie's shrill voice, but there was a Japanese singer, and she used to sing Sakura. And it's, you know, a lovely Japanese tune, but that was her early musical memory. It was very happy, and it's a very simple folk song. Lovely pentatonic melody, very Japanese sounding. Nice, easy rhythms. So musically, when I heard it as an adult, I felt very Japanese, and I was very proud for the first time in my life when I heard this, to be Japanese. Because, you know, growing up in America, we were all meant to be the amazing melting pot. So it was very rude if the Italians went together, and if, you know, we didn't have any other Japanese to get together with. But any kind of groups, they all had to be together. And that's how I was raised. So I wasn't allowed to even really, in those days... to celebrate being Japanese.
When you sing it?
When I sing it, we will all, yes, indeed. It's absolutely beautiful. With music, of course, there are associative aspects as well. So I felt quite confused with this song. And if we hear it, it's absolutely beautiful. Oh, also, before we do that, I was able to have the most magical moment when my mother was dying, and I heard about this amazing program in the hospital in Spokane, Washington, where they have harpists who go out and play for the dying. Yes, exactly. And they had a wonderful training program there, and I met with a harpist, borrowed a violin, and we played for my mother, Sakura. She was in a coma, but suddenly her eyelids were fluttering and a smile actually came. And she looked so peaceful just from the song. And this is the beautiful song. Oh, this shrine established in the 8th century. Practitioners of mountain worship here. And it's a great place to view the cherry blossom. Have you been there, P- Peter?
No, I haven't seen that one, but I've seen Cherry Blossom like that.
Oh. Amazing. Yes. And of course, we're surrounded by the blossom right now. Right now. It's just.
I was there.
You were there?
Yeah, I was there.
Oh.
Kyoto.
Oh, that's, oh, lovely.
Kyoto is the capital of China.
Yes, yes. Wonderful. So you hear the koto. Lovely. Now, this will go on. Oh, this is the one I wanted you to see. You can even get it on your iPhone, Koto. This is amazing. Oh, do we need to... Fortuitous, this came up because I wanted you to see this.
So you can actually play. I've tried it. It's really easy because it's a pentatonic. So, oh. Can we hear it, do you think?
Oh, sorry. Did you want to hear
it? Oh, maybe a little bit, just because they're just next to each other, and you can actually play Sakura on your own. Isn't that amazing? So with the pentatonic scale, whatever you press is going to work. Even in a group, there's no wrong note. It just all harmonizes together. It's wonderful. It's great for education. The next page shows the text. This is beautiful, showing how Sakura just heralds the beginning of springtime, the emotion of awakening, renewal, and new beginnings. Of course, there was a wedding about to start, and I thought that's kind of nice too for them. So the next slide will give us Sakura, Sakura, cherry blossoms wave in the trees. Lovely blossoms dance in the breeze. Pink and white the blossoms will fall. So the scents here, petals sending scent to all. Sakura, Sakura, smelling sweet, Sakura. There are lots of translations. In the Japanese on the next one will give lots of different interpretations. But basically, that's the text. If we go to the next one, and then we will do some singing. But this is kind of a beginning way to notate. So I've worked a lot with the Kodai system, and we've got, you know, just the vertical bar being like a step. And we can say on that, ta, ta, ta. So it's ta, ta, ta. Next one, ta, ta, ta. Then ta, 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 ta. Ta, ti, ti, ta. And just that much, I'd like you to actually stand in your place or sitting down. Now let's stand and let's just go ahead and clap with it as we sing just that much. Yeah, I know you've got the tune ready. And ta, 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 ta. Ta-ti-ti-ta. Good. Very good. Now, you notice that those lines that way, it's actually what we call a minim. It's two beats. So we can go ta-ah, like that. So it's just out to the universe that way. Now, if we think about, this is kind of fun. We can sit down for this. I think it was about 5 in the morning, and I started thinking about ways of body percussion, and I noticed, you probably already know this, but I noticed that if I tap my head here, or here at the temples, or here by the ears, I've got sakura, then sakura, then sada yada, yada da do. You see, it goes lower there, and as we go up this way, it goes higher with those pitches. Isn't that weird? Let's try it together. Ready? And sakura, sakura. It's cherry blossoms wave in the trees. And again, sakura, saku. Temples, head, temple, ear, temple. Head, temple, head, top of head. So it's kind of fun, isn't it? So you can actually experiment with that yourself. You know, we all have different pitches. We're all made of sound. Isn't that fun? So, oh, take out your tea bags. And we don't need the cups for now, just the tea bags. And may I borrow yours? I thought, how am I going to get them all instruments? And I suddenly woke up and thought, tea bags, everything we use has sound to it. So it's our percussion instrument today. Oh, that's not fair. You can't do it with us. All right, I've got one here. So what ways do we get sound with a percussion instrument? We can shake. What's another way? Yes, we can hit, tap or hit, right? And then what about guaro, scrapey? Are there any scrapey things on here? Yes, right here. Scrape it,
the little grooves? That's your little guiro. All right. So we have, how about something like tap, tap, roll. Tap, tap, roll. Tap, 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 roll or shake, whatever you want on that one. All right, let's just try that all together. Oh, I'll tell you what might be. Let's do that first and then another way. Ready? And tap, tap, roll, tap. You can sing along. Tap, 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 roll. Okay? Isn't that nice? So now, what about, we've got three ways, don't we? So maybe this whole section, you can be our tappers. Then how about over here, the rollers? And this side, you can be our shakers at the end. Okay? Okay, so here we go. Here's our performance. Ready, tappers. Ready, and tap. Oh, oh, tap, tap. Whoa, I forgot, that's a roll. No, is it? Tap, tap, roll over here. Okay, I got it. See, I hadn't thought about it. Okay, ready, and right, who wants to come be conductor? Let's do it once more and then we'll have a conductor. Okay, ready, and fantastic. I would love to have a conductor up here. I know you can do it. Lovely. It's fun. What a harmonious group. That was wonderful. And you're a natural. And you know what is really nice is because you had the eye contact and the smile. Wasn't it nice to have the eye contact and the smile? Lovely, you're hired. So now, if we think about, let's see, I was so inspired by your talk as well last night, David. And I went up to David, went running up and said, I'd love to learn more about this. And he let me borrow this last night. And the first, oh my goodness, it's so exciting, because the first day of spring, the first two exercises of the first day of spring sequence are awakening and reconciliation, aren't they? Could you come demonstrate? And this is just lovely. And in fact, I was going to read this, but I think it'd be much nicer if you read that as well.
Okay, well, I'll just
because it just fits in so beautifully. So we can incorporate the movement in with this as we perform Sakura.
Right,
I thought
so
maybe. Or you could just tell us about it if you want.
Yes, so the expert. Yes, so the first gesture is the opening of the arms to the side.
So we have.
Similar to the opening of a flower. And so it's if you're using it both ways, then it's just like that, and with the palms down.
Reconciliation. Lovely, thank you. Fantastic. And of course, with that, oh, I just love the text that you've got here. Is the explanations, maybe this, that of the reconciliation, but it's all beautiful, the text.
The movements of this exercise are flowing curves representing the feminine principles, so this is the reconciliation here. the coming together of left and right hands, the reconciliation of the positive and negative poles, which brings about balance and harmony. This exercise encourages us to resolve our difficulties through gentleness and reconciliation, qualities of the heart, rather than through force. And this is Ben Saduno. Gentleness prepares the way of love. It neither tramples on the crushed reed, nor extinguishes the flickering lamp. It permeates the earth with the radiance of the angelic world.
Perfect, isn't it? Isn't that lovely? So yeah. I'm really excited because I'm going to have David come and speak to our young musical leaders, and we'll incorporate this into the program because it's so important, I feel. So, of course, we've got Sakuda, don't we? One, two. And then, so we'll do that with, we'll go two times through this with the movements. Ready? And Sakuda, Sakuda, yum, ba, dum, bum, bum, ba, da, yum. Then we repeat. Dum, ba, dum, dum, ba, dum, dum, ba, dum, bum, bum, ba, da, yum. And then we'll just pause a moment, and then we'll go to this position. And then we'll go to the reconciliation, and we'll do it two times through with the music in a moment. So then we have Sakura, Sakura, da, da, yum, ba, da, yum. And then we'll do the same. So if you just kind of keep note of second line or third line. Good. So the first time we're going to use our percussion instruments. And now I thought it was wonderful because you must be a drummer because you actually found. Can you show us the sound that you did? So you can do on your cups as well or your tea bags against your cups. Okay. But let's do that rhythm because it shows how musical you all are. And you're actually reading music as well. So we will do that through twice. And then we will go into the awakening position. And what I love is that these two fingers go together, don't they, David, in the movement. So you will be holding your teabag anyway. So we'll go from there to there for the awakening. Oh, palms down, of course. So palms down. And then we'll go to this position, and then we'll do the reconciliation two times. So, and then you will be able to improvise freely on the last time through. So you will do it along to that, the same YouTube clip, if we play along to that. So you will have visual as well. If you want to smell it, you can smell it in between. And we're going to do that in a moment anyway. I see some people being very English already and prepared, already got their tea bags out. So you're ahead of the game here. Do we have that? Oh, lovely. So just, you know, kind of experiment with different sounds. So get ready for your improvisational bit. You could use cups. And also, we might add movement in a bit. There's that. Learn to speak English again. Oh, now that's the wrong one. Okay. Oh, can we go back to get the original, I wonder? Because it's kind of timed to the. See if you can turn to a neighbor and do one rhythm and copy it. Here's another one. See if you can. So you have a leader and a follower. Okay, invent a new rhythm. Have a leader, try a new one. Then. Oh, I like this. Great sound in here. I think we can all jive to that one. Harmonious group rhythmically as well. Need some shakes. Oh, that's it. That's it. Okay, all right. So we have a surprise. Life's about improvisation. Let's see what comes up. It's called YouTube. Anything can come up. Oh, this is the right one. Here we go. So we have an introduction here. Do we have sound? Just go to the beginning. Is that the right sound, Martin? It's what's coming through. Maybe we've tuned into the wedding party. Oh, I see.
Oh. That's jazz.
That's jazz. Did you all hear that rhythm?
Yes.
Dum ba ba bum 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 gum. Go for it. Dum bum 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 dum. And improvise to that. Oh, here we go. We've got it here. Have a little introduction to be still, reflect your own personal awakening. Okay, we've got tea bags ready. You remember the rhythm. Get ready for your movement. Just first we're going to experience something, but we might do that with me playing along with the violin and you actually stepping it with right foot first, isn't it? Or just kind of improvising. We might have David lead on that if we've got time in a moment. But now we're just going to experience the moment. So we've got the feel, we've got the sound. You just look at that tea bag. It's the first time you've seen a tea bag. Open it up. You're a step ahead, that's fine. Smell it. Now, it's actually infused enough just in the bag that we don't need the hot water, but you're perfectly welcome at the end, kindly arranged here with hot water to, you know, or take it with you as a souvenir. But now, Peter said we're just going to have a few moments of group. We don't have long, but I just think just with the next slides here, we've got basic premises for all of us that we all hold the power to transform ourselves and others through performance. Music is hardwired in us all. It is the first and the last system to go. The lovely story of Rosalia, who was in an Alzheimer's center. They thought she had nothing there because she would sit listless all day. And they looked in her files and found out she'd been a concert pianist. Some very clever person arranged to get a piano rolled into her. And she actually put her, they got her hands up, and she
started playing, and all these amazing Chopin etudes came out, and all her vital functions returned to normal. I mean, you know, heart rate and pulse and everything. And she was so happy. And then she stopped playing and went back to it. But it is the last system to go. And of course, before we're born, we're already hearing pitches. We can hear wrong notes even. That's how musical we are. We've seen the evidence through Paul's work. We are all musical. So, you know, at the beginning of the conference, people, and it always happens, I'm not musical, they think, and they actually say, because they've been told it by a parent or a teacher, but by hearing the lilt in their voice, I can tell they're musical. And you can see it the way they move. We're all musical. They've got that dancing spring in their step. And I wonder if we can just take 1 minute, this part of the room, swing around to the others, consider this question. Do we live harmoniously within ourselves and with others and our environment? And also, is what we think and say music to the ears? This group, please. Consider, do our thoughts and actions strike a chord within ourselves and with others? Are we in tune with what's happening in our lives and in the world? This group, are we in step with others, falling within natural rhythms easily? Do we resonate with qualities that can ring out clear as a bell? And the final group here, are we reflecting our true characters with style and confidence? Is the ability to be able to improvise useful in shaping and structuring the shape of our days? So just 2 minutes to kind of discuss that amongst yourself before.
Can you do them again so everybody can remember them?
Yes. So group one on that side. You can all kind of think about these as well. Do we live harmoniously within ourselves and with others and our environment? Is what we think and say music to the ears? You can be either group one or two. And the second group, do our thoughts and actions strike a chord within ourselves and with others? Are we in tune with what's happening in our lives and in the world? Group three, are we in step with others, falling within natural rhythms easily? Do we resonate with qualities that can ring out clear as a bell? And group four we'll leave up there. It's about being a performer, of course. Probably need to stop, don't we? I'm sorry.
What?
You probably need to wrap up the session, don't you? Aren't we there?
Sure.
So, sure. I'm happy for you to wrap up.
Do you want me to bring it to an end?
Yeah, that would be fine. Yeah, lovely. I think you do it beautifully. And they can go and reflect over their cup of tea. Oh, do you think we could hear one thing from each group? Do we have time to hear one or two things from each group?
Yeah.
Yeah, that would be really useful.
Okay.
Maybe I'll say one thing first, if that's all right.
Yeah.
Now, in a moment, we'll hear just a few. We just draw that to a close. And in a moment, we'll hear a few of your thoughts. Now, you're all artists. The role of an artist is to inspire and to deliver messages. What musical message would you like to convey is what I'm inviting you to consider. And we can all consider it over our cup of peace tea. And I just love your work, Satish, and the you know, that we're all musical pioneers. Thank you very much for being fellow musical pioneers. Okay.
Chika, thank you so much for everything you've done. It's been a wonderful afternoon. I'm not going to say I'm not musical, because clearly I am, and I can hit a teacup like anybody else.